nice is that? Well, it's probably my least favorite time of year, but it is summertime, and everybody seems to love summer. The great thing about summer is you get to go to the beach.
Woo!
Hallelujah. That's probably where a lot of people are today. But we know that God does come first, and our desire is to be in the presence of the Lord and to experience His glory. The one thing that makes us different as Christians from other people who do not know the Lord or don't serve the Lord is we have the ability to bring in the presence of God. We have the ability to establish an atmosphere that connects the kingdom of heaven with us on a personal level and even impact the atmosphere of those around us. We have powers that others do not realize are even available. And so, as we are operating in the presence of God, as we are operating in the Spirit of God, know that it is for this purpose that we have come into the world, that we may impact the lives of the people around us by transforming the atmosphere and making it an atmosphere where God's presence is evident, where the reality of God is obvious. And so we walk in the Spirit. We abide in His presence. And every day we go to work and we do our chores, as Bridget was beckoning us to get involved so we can do the chores that need to be done. And there are so many responsibilities in life. And life can be challenging. Life can be difficult. Life can be oppressive. It can be negative. It can be tiring. And it can cause us to feel weary or faint and even want to give up. But God has given us strength. I looked at some statistics over the past few months, and it's just terrible. Things like suicide and all the things that people are doing with addictions and alcohol and drugs and all these things that people are doing. But this is why Christ died, isn't it? Isn't it why He died? So that we might have hope, so that we might have life. And yet, people are killing themselves. People are giving up. People are turning to other substances in order to appease their spiritual condition, not realizing that it is a spiritual condition. And so we are the ones who have been charged with the Great Commission to go into all the world and bring the gospel. People we know suffer. They suffer for various reasons. But we have the antidote. We have the one thing that people need in order to survive, to come alive after they've been poisoned by the world, by their own flesh even, and certainly by the powers of darkness, Satan himself. And so our responsibility is to live in the overflow and to realize that nothing is impossible with God. When we live in the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, when we operate in the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's strength is imparted to us, and our ability to see and perceive and to focus on what our calling is then enhanced. It's fortified within us. It enables us to persevere and do what is right and what is good in the sight of the Lord because His strength is imparted to us. And so if we merely operate all day long as mere mortals, then we shall never accomplish our purpose. We will never be able to achieve our greatest potential. If Superman never changed out of his Clark Kent persona, then he would never do anything of greatness. Isn't that right?
Yep.
And it doesn't matter which superhero you pick, And if they all stayed in their incognito state of mind, then they would never accomplish anything great. How many Christians live incognito? And they fail to realize that they must put on Christ, their superhero identity, and allow the Spirit of God to arise in them so that they can go into all the world. You see, I love what Erica said, and I know Bridget mentioned it. Be who God has made you to be. But more importantly, be who God has made you to be in the persona of Jesus Christ according to the power of the Holy Ghost and of the living Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Let the Spirit of the Lord arise in you. And let God take that personality, that person who He's created you to be, and superpower you in the realm of God, in your worship, in your acknowledging of the Lord. This is what God has called us to do. He's called us to be even like Christ. And so we are talking about living in the overflow this month. We're talking about stepping into the move of God. The overflow of God, there is a, we talked about how the flow of God is always moving, always going. And we talked about the importance of stepping into His presence. This is what God has called us to do. We don't do our own thing. We don't start our own thing. We don't just try to just make something out of nothing. No, God is already working. And we step into the flow of God. We step into the alignment of the move of God and what God is doing and establishing. And out of that, life comes. Life comes. And so we flow in the move of God. But in order for that to be effective, you must align yourself to the right frequency. The frequency of God. And we talked about the love overflow, the lover flow, how God is love and how we are to align ourselves in love. And it's love that enables us to accomplish and even motivates us to go out and to do everything we do. It's love. And when we are filled with love, when we are overflowing in love, and sometimes we have to pray, God, I need more of your love. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, I need more of your love. Lord, I feel like I don't have enough. I need more love. And maybe you're involved in a situation or circumstances and you're trying to deal with it. Maybe you have things that you need to do, but you just don't feel like doing it. You don't want to do it. So many people say, I just didn't feel, I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel this. I didn't feel that. Pray and ask God for a loving heart.
Amen.
Pray and ask God for more love, more of Him. And that will change the way you feel. You see, the way you feel will impact the way you then act and behave. And so it is important to get your feelings under the submission of the Holy Spirit of God. And then you change the way you think. Because the way you think impacts the way you feel. If you feel bad, it's probably because you're thinking of something bad. And you're probably thinking the wrong thing or something that's taking you down a path that is not right or not good. And even if it's something that really is bad and it's really not good, the Bible says stop thinking about that.
Amen.
It says to meditate on that which is good, which is holy, right? Isn't that Philippians? And so our thinking and our processes have to shift and change, and we learn how to navigate our mind through our everyday lives. And so as we live our lives, we find ourselves having to change from a carnal way of thinking, and that means a fleshly way or a humanistic way of living, and flow in the way of the Holy Spirit, in the way of God, the way of God and His Word. And that's what the Word of God does. It takes you from a humanistic mentality to a God-like mentality. It enables the mind of Christ to come alive in you so that the mind that is in you and the mind that is in Christ Jesus come together. And that is why we meditate on the Word of God day and night. Isn't that right? Because the Word affects your thoughts, and your thoughts affect your feelings, and your feelings affect your actions. And so you need this flow of God to come through your life so that you can feel different. And so whenever you don't feel right, then you usually would go to the doctor. Isn't that correct? And you would say, something's not right with me. Well, when your thinking and your mind isn't right, it's going to affect everything, and you need to come to Jesus. You need to go to the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God say about the way I feel? And when you look at your feelings, you can see that's the symptom, and then you can backtrack to where the problem is in your mind. And your way of thinking can then be changed. And so we talked about the wisdom of the Father last week. We talked about how we need other people to be able to speak into our lives. In fact, that's what God does. He brings us to a place or a state where we're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so many people want to hear from God, but they don't want to hear from other people. But I would submit, you cannot separate the two. Because God uses people to speak into our lives. And God will use situations to speak into your life. And God will, and I'm not talking about somebody who necessarily comes up and says, oh, I've got a word from the Lord for you. Usually that's dangerous when you hear that. When you hear those words, you know, your red flag goes up. Certainly your yellow caution flag goes, right? You know, and so that usually that word that's coming forth is probably for that person, probably for the person doing the talking. And so God has called us to be able to hear when the Holy Spirit is speaking, so that we can speak into each other's lives. And as God speaks into our lives, we can make the necessary shifts and changes. And so today we are going to leap into Psalm 61 just a little bit here. Verse 2 says, from the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so God is the rock. Jesus is the rock. And so we come to him when we are at the end of ourselves, even at the end of the earth. When you're at the end of the earth, we come to him. We call to him. No matter where you are, no matter how distant you are from God, you may seem, or how difficult the situations may appear, you can always call on God. And he will lead you to Jesus. Isn't that right? I know my wife, she has a testimony when she was praying about God, where are you real? Show me yourself. Tell me who you are. And every time she would pray that prayer, somebody would come and talk to her about Jesus. And that's what God does when your heart is right, when you're seeking the truth and you're calling on God. God will respond to you. He says, if you are hungry, would you not give your kid a stone to eat? Or would you give him bread? He says, well, you being evil, give good gifts, right? You do what's right. And likewise, God does the same. He will give us the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to receive everything else. And once you are filled with the Spirit of God, once you are walking in the flow of God, once God's presence is strong and evident and stirring within your life, you are motivated and your life is changed. And so I would like to talk today about overcoming being overcome. Overcoming being overcome. Well, are we ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Well, let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we ask, God, that you would enable us to overcome everything that is oppressing us or binding ears and our eyes that we may hear and see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing, that we might flow in the overflow of God, that we might move as you move, and that we may speak as you unction us to speak, and that we might be the very vessels that you have called us to be, that we would arise in your super strength and power, and that your glory would fill our lives. Lord, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so, overcoming being overcome. So often, we are overwhelmed. You know, you hear people say this all the time. I'm overwhelmed. Oh, man, overwhelmed. And even if they don't admit it themselves, then other people will see it and say, yeah, they are overwhelmed. They're in over their heads. Isn't that right? It's too much for them. Sometimes people don't even realize that they're in over their heads. And that is a sad place to be. It's a hard place to be. It's a difficult place to be when you're overwhelmed, when there is too much for you to manage and to handle. And some people have anxiety because all they see is this huge mound of issues and problems that they face. But God has a plan and a way for us to overcome them. And God wants us to be overcomers. And he has done everything in his power to enable us. And so some of the things that God is doing and that he has done are very simple, if you will, or sometimes even obvious.
Sorry, I didn't have time to talk yesterday. I have a lot going on with this project at work that is not going well. It seems that my coworkers are working against me. Then there's home. I can't keep up with all the errands.
I can help you with some of that if you want me to.
Just keep working and working, and I can't just sit back and enjoy anything like I used to. Wrapped up in so much.
Too much.
Maybe I should start scaling things back. Remember when we used to spend our time together? I miss that.
Me too.
Feels like we haven't really talked in ages. I'm not sure I would even recognize your voice in a room with strangers.
More time together on FaceTime.
I've worked so hard to get here, though. School. The extra hours at work. The extra projects. I'm trying to keep what friends I have left. Trying to be healthy. Now that I'm here, it still feels like I'm missing something.
There are more important things than a good paycheck.
My job isn't even that great. It's not making much of a difference. I'm not making much of a difference.
You have unique talents and passions, but you're not using them.
Had this talk before. What would I do without this job? The way things are, I worry that I'll lose it anyway, and then what will I do? How will I pay my bills? How would I pay these?
You really think I would let you starve?
You've helped me so much already, and I really don't deserve it. Any of it.
Sarah. Always take care of you.
I'm trying so hard. I'll try harder.
You don't need to try harder. Just ask. I will help you.
I'm so sorry. Here you've been waiting patiently, and I finally make time to talk, and I just complain. This probably is not what you had in mind.
It's okay. I can handle it. I'm here.
I know you can handle it. I just don't know why you would want to.
Yes, you do.
Sometimes God is right there and you just don't see him. Sometimes the Lord is there and we just don't hear him. Sometimes God uses the people who are in our lives already to speak to us, to help us, to give us direction, to support us, to make a way. And God has placed them there for the very purpose that we overlook, and therefore we miss God, because we're so caught up in our own way of thinking, in our own perceptions, in our own ideas, in what we want to do and what we want to accomplish, and we become overwhelmed, we're overtaken by the situations and the circumstances of life, everyday life. But God says, I am with you. I am with you always. And God gives us each other so that we can be of support and life to each other. And even as we are interacting with each other, we're interacting with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. John 14:1 says, do not let your heart be troubled. You see that? Do not let your heart be troubled. And that means you have the ability, you have the power to stop it from being troubled by believing in God and believing in Jesus. It's one thing to believe in God, it's another to believe in Jesus. You see, believing in Jesus means to take what he says. He is the Word of God. He is the living Word. Take the Word that God is speaking and apply it in your life. The word believe is not just to acknowledge that God exists. It doesn't mean just to acknowledge that Jesus exists. It means to put your faith in. In other words, you are standing on it. You are sitting on it. You are holding on to it. You are looking to it for direction, for advice, and everything about him we are consumed with, so that our entire life is wrapped up in God, in Jesus. That's what it means to believe in. Believe in. More people believe in their jobs than they believe in Jesus. Why? Because that is the thing that they put above and beyond everything that God says in his word. And the God of their lives is not really Jesus, but the God of their life is their boss. The God of their life is really the company they work for. It's really the very things that they give up in order to do, instead of applying the Word of God in our lives. Some people, vacation is really the God of their lives. They work all year or however many months it takes to save so that they can go on vacation, and they stop doing everything that the Word of God says we ought to be doing in order to enjoy vacation. Vacation becomes a God. This is the season of the vacation God that we are in, where you really determine whether it is God who's God of your life, or whether vacation or trips or relaxation or some other thing is God in your life. So you doubt me. When people go on vacation, how much time do they spend in the Word of God? Think about yourself. How much time did you spend reading the Scriptures when you go on vacation? How much time do you spend in prayer when you go on vacation? How much time do you spend in worship while you're on vacation? You see, these are all of the things that we would normally do or we would normally pursue as the people of God. And so God says, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on, he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Don't you love that? Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. It's like a vacation home from the world. He says, if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, God wants us to have rest. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have all of the fruit of the Spirit, the attributes of God. They ought to be a part of your life. If you are a Christian, isn't that right? If you have received Christ, you ought to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. And you ought to be able to endure all things. Hope ought to be a part of your everyday life because you know that nothing is impossible with God. And when you find yourself in challenging and difficult situations, all you have to do is go to the Word of God. And all you have to do is seek out what the Word of the Lord is. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come over you because God will show you that you are not alone, but that he is with you. And so we persevere in God. In 1 Samuel, Hannah, she prayed to the Lord when she was desiring of the blessing of a son. She prayed and she sought the face of God. She said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Hallelujah. And God is our rock. He is the one we cling to. He holds us up. He sustains us. He enables us to stand strong. He's our foundation. He is the very foundation of our lives. The foundation is something that cannot be moved. It cannot be shaken when it is made of rock. Hallelujah. When it is secure. And that is why we must cling to the Lord. That is why we must pursue in God. That is why we flow with God. And we don't allow the trials and the tribulations of life to bring us down. Because we're always looking to the rock. We're always looking up, looking to the Lord. No matter what the situation is, know that it is an opportunity for God to do something amazing, something powerful, for God to be glorified and to be honored. And so Psalm 37 says, don't fret because of evildoers and be not envious toward wrongdoers. Don't desire these things that the world would so tempt us with. He says, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. This is the call and the challenge of every believer. We need to be cultivating faithfulness. Cultivating. Don't look down on your life. Don't look down on yourself. Don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm too overwhelmed. Oh, I'm trying to do this and trying to do that. Then stop. Nobody said you have 10,000 things. Stop and seek God. Stop and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because only the things that you do for Christ will last. Nothing else is going to matter. It doesn't matter that you work all kinds of overtime and that you invest so wholeheartedly in your occupational exploits. But you cannot function and survive without the Word of God, without the move of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you, it was an amazing day for me when I realized that the Holy Spirit wasn't just in church. It changed my life when I realized that I could experience the presence of God anywhere. All I had to do was call upon the name of the Lord. It was as simple as saying the name Jesus. And it was like something would just go. Something would begin to stir or vibrate in me just at the thought of his name. And it changed my life. The name of Jesus. That's the name you must hold on to. Not just mentally, but you must meditate on him. And he and his word are one. You cannot separate Jesus from his word. And that's why he said, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. And so the applying of the word, taking the counsel of God, receiving what it is that he has said and what he has done, and applying it to your life is the evidence that you really love God. In other words, your love is measured by how much time you invest in the Word of God and its application in your personal life. And so, do you trust in the Lord? Do you desire to do good? Because doing good means doing what the Word of God says, applying it, cultivating faithfulness. In other words, establish it within yourself, that you're motivating yourself, you're encouraging yourself to do what the Word of God says, applying it in our lives so that we can experience the move of God. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This verse changed my life. It said, have fun in Jesus. Amen. Have fun in God. Enjoy the Word of God. Enjoy the things of God. And the more I began to delight myself, the happier I became. I was depressed and oppressed, and I was just a teenager. Oh, my goodness. I had no reason to be oppressed, but I was. And I'll never forget the day I made up my mind, I am going to be happy. I literally said it to myself. I am going to be happy. There's no way I'm going to live my life miserable. Because I saw how fast life was going by. And I said, you know what? You only go through this thing one time. And guess what? I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. I got permission. This verse gave it to me. And so I set out on a quest. I am going to have fun in the Lord. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm not going to be like one of these old, stuffy, pew-warming people who sit in church, and there they are singing those songs, and everything sounds like a dirge, and you're feeling like life is passing you by, or like you missed out on something, and now all you have left is Jesus. I said, heck to the no. I will not be living like that. And I said, I'm going to have fun. And I went on a pursuit to enjoy myself in God. And so I said, I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. I'm going to read. And I'll never forget, I started out reading, and I really did not like reading. Now, I'm not one of those guys like a reader. And I come from a family of readers, you know, believe me. I don't know what happened to me. It must have happened. It skipped over me, you know. Everybody else, you know, they love sitting in classes and going to school and getting degrees and on degrees on degrees. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's go have some fun. And so we wanted to experience God in a powerful way, not even realizing that that's what was happening. Just by applying the word of God, delighting yourself in the Lord. You don't have to worry. If you want God to do something for you, ask yourself, are you delighting yourself? Because if you're not delighting yourself, then you won't get the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart come from delighting.
Hallelujah.
Delighting yourself in the Lord. Enjoying your time with God. Loving the Lord with all your heart. Have fun. Who said you have to be cooped up in a house? Who said you had to sit around and be miserable? Or you had to have Bible study? Oh. No. I used to have Bible study. We used to go to the park and have Bible study. We'd just get my friends from church and say, come on, we're going to the park. We're just going to do some fun stuff. We'll read the word. We'll pray. We'll talk. We'll hang out. And we would just do fun stuff. And I was the only one with a car, so I would have to go around picking people up. That was a little annoying, but I was having fun. I was delighting myself. Sometimes we would hang out in, what was it, White Castle parking lot. But we would. By then I had a van, so I said, you know, I need a bigger car because I can't fit everybody in a little car. I used to have a little Supra. And then I got a big van so I could pack more people in. And we used to hang out, and we would have fun, and then we would go camping, and we would do all kinds of stuff, all because we just wanted to delight ourselves in the Lord. In fact, church we were in down in the city, you guys know, we turned that church around. You know who turned that church around? The youth ministry did.
Wow.
Youth ministry did. And those people were as stiff and as stuck as they come. And I'm going to tell you, those people were as dry as those chairs you sit on. But the Holy Spirit came in. The Holy Spirit came in. They threw me out for preaching in a... I was in a... What did I have on a... My tennis shorts. My little Arthur Ashes. In the youth ministry, our theme was Come As You Are. Man, that did not go over well. A meeting with the deacons set me straight. Hallelujah. You have to delight yourself. You have to delight yourself in the Lord. You have to do what is right before God. If you're miserable, it's your own fault. And I'm telling you, as somebody who knows, you don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be down in the dumps. Change the way you're thinking. Start focusing on God. Let the word of God renew your mind. Meditate on it day and night. The Holy Spirit will come to you. He will speak to you. He will breathe life into you. And you will be changed. The word of God is not for old people. The word of God is for newborn babes. For little babies. It's for little kids. It's for young kids. And everyone in the scripture who God used most powerfully, it began when they were young. You wait till you're old, it'll be too late. And you'll be shot to pieces. And you won't be able to hardly do anything. And people will say, oh, you know, I would do it, but my back. Oh, but my hips and my knees. I have more people my own age. They're all gipping and leaning. They're like, oh. And I'm like, what the heck? Come on, people. What's the matter with you? Oh, the years are catching up with me. Well, run faster. Come on, delight yourself in God. Enjoy yourself in the Lord. God will make a way for you. He will give you the desires of your heart. I'm a witness. He gave me things I didn't even know I wanted. Hallelujah. I didn't even think I wanted them. But I got it. enjoyment in life. It will change our life. God is there to speak to us, to breathe life into us, to enable us so that we can see the handiworks of God. Amen. Psalm 37:15 says, their sword will enter their own heart and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. And this is a powerful statement because this is a principle like gravity. You know, what goes up comes down. God wants to do amazing things, but you have to be the righteous. The righteous are the ones who experience the move of God, not the wicked. Look at this. The word wicked means in this passage here, and certainly in general, it's evil doing that is not only against humanity or society or others or oneself, but against God. It's the concept of God that gives us the idea or gives the idea of sin. It's many-sided meaning. Israel's God sets the ideal, the standard for human behavior, the God of Israel. He sets the standard. He's the one who determines this. It says the most frequent biblical words for sin speak of violating the standard in some fashion. In other words, not doing what the Word of God says will cost you something. Not applying the Word of God will bring you under or below the standard that God has set so that you won't reach your greatest potential. You won't be able to be effective. You'll have a Superman suit on, but you won't have power to take off. God wants us to know that when you are the wicked and you're doing evil, those are the things that hinder you from accomplishing the things of God, the will of God. The word wicked, it means evil or sinful, immoral or wrong, morally wrong, wrongfully bad. And you can see all the different, this is a lot of words for wicked. And I wasn't expecting this many words. But this is a lot. Despicable. Didn't they make a movie about that?
Yes.
Wickedness is bad. Wickedness is not good. Wickedness is black-hearted. It's ungodly. It's vile. It's irreverent. It's sullied. There's a word for you. God says, no, let's clean all of this out of us so that we can delight ourselves. Here's page 2. It's diabolical, fiendish, vicious, murderous. Good grief, man. This is a lot of words for wicked. You read wicked in the Bible, you're just like, oh, he was wicked. You didn't know there was like 2 pages worth of like of what that means. It's like, how bad is this? This is awful. It covers every aspect of being off that there is. When you miss God, you're wicked. When you fail to do what is right, wicked is just like instead of saying all of these words, it just says wicked. And we just go, well, wicked. No, wicked is like, ah! It's like all over. It's like everywhere. It's bad. It's really bad. It's worse than you thought. Wicked. Some people think it's cute. Oh, he's so wicked. Right? It's a wonder that the world takes that which is evil and tries to make it good. God says, be careful of this. Be careful of this. He goes on, verse 17. He says, for the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The righteous are those who are not wicked. All those words. And so God wants to sustain you when you align yourself with the Word of God, when you allow the Word of God to transform you, and it only happens when when you meditate on it day and night, when you invest in the Word of God, when you spend time praying, you don't even know what to pray for unless you read the Word of God. How do you know how to pray? How do you know what to pray? You ever hear people say, well, I didn't know what to pray for? What they're really saying is because I don't know what the Word of God says, I don't know how to function. Because you think, prayer, that's simple. And you start thinking, gee, I pray for this, I pray for that. You got a whole list of things that you pray for that you bring before God. Why? Because you are the righteous. And when you're the righteous, then God reveals things to you. He speaks to you. He shows you things. And you recognize these are things that are too big for me that only God can handle. And so you bring them before the Lord because God has given us direction. He's speaking into our lives and we're hearing and we are obeying him. That's the righteous. And so he goes on. He says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. And their inheritance will be forever. That's eternal. You have an eternal inheritance. Life is short. We all know that. Life goes by really quick. I mean, decades go by like years. And it's just amazing. We've been here a year already. It seems like we've been here a few months. Right? So, God is helping us to have an eternal perspective so that we can experience all that God has for us. And I would love for everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the joy of the Lord, and all of the principles of God and of Christ, and that we would just come alive and be transformed, and that those who are in the world will say, what happened to you? What happened to you? You used to be miserable. You used to be grumpy. You used to be just, I don't know. You were different. Now you've got life in you. That's what the world ought to be seeing. That's what Christ will do. That's what God will do. He will bring life out of you. He will bring the joy from your feet to your face. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord will fill your life. You will have an eternal inheritance. It will be forever. He says, they will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. God will make a way for you when the rest of the world is going through turmoil. You know, you watch the news and people get depressed. I watch the news and I say, hallelujah. God is going to do something. He might even be coming back. Glory to God. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because the more the world rages and does evil, the more I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when everybody else is crying out to the rocks, fall on us, we will be saying glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill toward men. All you who are weary and are heavy laden, come and I will show you how to get some rest. Hallelujah. Let the world become more and more evil. Let it arise and let it blow itself up. Because people will want to know the way out. And Jesus says, I am the door. I'm the door. And so while the world is doing its evil and saying it's good, guess what God says? He says, I will wait. And those who wait on the Lord, oh, we know that. He says, but the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. And they vanish like smoke. They vanish away. He says, the wicked borrows and does not pay back. But the righteous is gracious and gives. We don't hold anything back. When God has blessed you, when he's doing things in your life, you don't have a problem giving. You don't have a problem releasing. Why? Because your holding on. Let go and let God. We've all heard that, right? Let go and let God. Sounds so spiritual. But it's true, isn't it? You can't hold on to stuff. You can't hold on to your paycheck. You can't hold on to your car. You can't hold on to your house. You can't hold on to your bag of chips. You got to be willing to share. You got to be willing to let them go. Trust me, if you share your chips, more chips will come to you. They will. God wants us to be able to let go, to be free, and allow God to be your source of provision. That's the whole idea of God saying, don't I feed the sparrows? Do you see them lacking? Do you see them needing anything? It says, no. He says, I take care of them. Their Father in heaven. God will do the same for us. We can give. In fact, I would submit the reason you get is for the purpose of giving. If you get and don't give, then you will only get what you got. And you won't get much more than that. And how many people say, I wish I had $1 million? Even I say that. But God says, you got to be willing to give. Most people, when they get $1 million, they say, I'm going to Disney World. I'm going on a cruise around the world. And when they get, they think of themselves. Yeah. They don't say, I'm going to tithe my inheritance. And I'm going to sow into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to bless the people of God so that the house of God does not lack any good thing. That's not what people say. They say, oh, I'm going to pay this, and I'm going to pay for that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And guess what happens? Poof. Poof. They lose everything. Everything they had is gone. It turns to water and just like. And you catch them later. Not catch them outside. You catch them later. Right? And they got nothing. They got nothing. They got nothing because they didn't do what was right with what they had. And the flow of God stops. It's cut off. But the righteous, they give and it keeps on coming. When you bless, when you sow, when you give, you cannot receive unless you give. You cannot receive unless you give. Givers are always receiving. Givers are always receiving. God causes it to happen. It's like gravity. You don't make yourself stay on the ground. You just do because gravity keeps you there. Selfish people don't prosper. You can't because you're violating the principle of God. Be a sower. Be a giver. Invest your time. Invest your energy. How much time do you invest in the kingdom of God? You have to ask yourself. How much time do I invest? How much time do I spend trying to be a blessing to someone else? Or is my life consumed with solving my own problems? Givers. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. He says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and his delight, and he delights in his way. You see that? Now he's delighting. God. God is delighting in you. He says, you know what? I'm going to bless that guy because I love watching him shout. I love watching him dance and jump up and down. I love watching him just be so happy that God has done something for him that, you know what, I just tickles. I just want to see him laugh. Right? Don't you like blessing little kids? You do something for them? You know, you give them something and they go, oh my, and they get all happy. Don't you like to just stand there and watch them? You do, right? Don't you think God feels that way about us? So how do you think God feels when he does something for you and you say, well, thank God I went to that doctor. Oh, I'm glad my insurance was up, was good. Oh, I'm glad that everything worked out. Oh, that was great. No, God says delight yourself. You need to learn how to delight yourself. Delight yourself in God. magnifying his name. The people who are dry and toasty. You're just going to get dust. You're going to be dust. You need to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have any joy, no wonder you're weak and falling apart. Where is your joy? So many Christians, they have no joy. There's no delight in them at all. And you're like, are you sure you are born again? Not born wrong? Because you missed something here. That you're supposed to have joy. That you're supposed to have peace and patience and kindness. And you're supposed to be, you know, you should be so ecstatic in God that it doesn't matter what happens. You're like, ah, that's all right. I know God will fix that. Oh, I know God will bring things together. Oh, I know it's going to work together for good. I know it will. It always does. Not just because the Bible says it, but because I've experienced it. I've seen it. So the Lord delights in our way. He says in Isaiah 40:27, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Hallelujah. Whenever I use these kind of words, everybody thinks I make them up. It's inscrutable. You know what that means? It means nobody can figure them out. It means his... You can't understand God. You try to say, well, why would God? Why would you even ask that? He's inscrutable. Next time somebody says that, now you can say, well, you know, God is inscrutable. and smile, yes. Thank you, Rose. And smile, little big smile. Yes, God is. Or you can say, God is inscrutable. Certainly you can't expect to understand. Can't figure God out. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's you and me. God wants to increase your power. And he wants to increase your strength. Wait, you think God is lying? You think he's teasing? He's like, here's some power. Here it is. Sanctified. The power's all mine. Ow! No! God is not out to get us. He's not out to trick us. You know, it drives me nuts when people say, well, you know, I want the Lord to strike me down. Well, God isn't going to strike you down. You're already down. He's just going to pass by. That's all. You know, you strike yourself down when you become the wicked. You're only getting struck down because that's what happens to the wicked. It doesn't matter. It's your relationship to the Word of God. God wants to increase your power. And he's doing everything he can to get it through to us. To say, hello, are you getting this? Come on, come on. I want you to get it. I want you to have power. Come on. I want you to soar. I want you to flow in the wave and the move of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to feel the peace that passes all understanding. He says, you're not getting it. I'm trying to breathe life into you. He says, though youths grow weary and tired. I thought this was interesting because even back in the day when this was written, it says youths grow weary and tired. Young people. And vigorous young men stumble badly. You see that? Vigorous young men stumble badly. He goes on. He says, yet those who wait on the Lord or for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God does. This is what God does. He gives strength to us. He imparts strength to us. And God will do the same for any of us. Your strength and your power is in the Word of God. It's in the flow of the Holy Spirit, the move of God. And we want God to move among us. We want Him to stir among us. We want God to manifest Himself in our lives so that we can experience the fullness of God. Every aspect of God, we want Him to refresh us, to revive us, to breathe into us life. Oh, we all know Ephesians 6, don't we? He says in verse 10, finally. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You need the strength of God. God's strength is in the Spirit and the Word. It's the Word of God, anointed of God. Those two things coming together, the Word and the Spirit, give you power. And without the two, you have nothing. You've got nothing. And so he goes on, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the what? Schemes of the devil. That's the word strategies. The strategies, the things that Satan will use to keep you down, because he knows as long as he keeps doing this in your life, you will never call on God. You won't call on God. You won't even see that God has put people into your life to speak it to you and to help you and to give you advice and to guide you so that you can make wise decisions. And the people that are there, you'll overlook them. Or you will just downplay their effectiveness and their ability to bring change into your life. So, it says, you will be able to overcome the devil's schemes. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against power, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle to keep your soul oppressed, to keep your soul in bondage, so that you can't be free. Let me tell you something. When you get free, everybody comes alive around you. Everybody comes alive around you. And that's because when God is at work, His Spirit just radiates out. And just life just gets on. People come alive who don't even want to be alive. You'll be like, can these dry bones live? You're darn right they can. What about the man who was thrown into the ground and his body touched the bones of life and he comes back to life? Because everything in God has life in it. Everything in God has life. And when you come to Christ, if you don't have life, I challenge your salvation. Because God should give you life. You should have life in you. It's sad. You see people on worship teams and singing, and they're getting into people in the morgue. We ought to be bringing life everywhere you go. When you get on your job, you ought to be so lit. That people just come to life. They become the living dead. Walking alive. Life comes to them. They start wondering, what is that just being around you? Just changes everything. When I left my job in the city, I had people call me back, begging me to come back. I'm not kidding. Begging me to come back. They say, it's not the same. It's not the same when you're not here. It's not the same. Why? Because I went down there and prayed up. I was ready. I said, yeah, devil. I'm ready for you. In the name of Jesus. And I came to work on fire for God. Worshiping God all through the day. Everywhere. By the time I got to my clients and started to shake their hand, I had such a big grin, I couldn't even hold it back. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had got me. I had a Holy Ghost encounter before I met with my clients. When I go to meetings with my boss, I just sit there and I just be like, yeah. So, what are we doing? You're like, And I don't care who I met with, whether it was the president of the company or whether it was the president of the United States. It didn't matter. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to realize that joy changes everything. It will change your relationships with people, and it is what gives you favor. Nobody wants to be around a deadhead. Nobody wants to be around somebody with no joy, with no life in them. Why? Because life is already dead. And it is only Christ who gives you life. Know that your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers and spiritual forces and world forces. I love that. World forces. The world. The darkness that's in the world. Evil. Satan. The spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Not just part of it. He says, you got to put the whole thing on. And not just one piece or one aspect of it. And then you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, you can stand. And you can stand having your loins girded with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, you will be able to take up the shield of faith. That's hope. And you'll be able to put out the flaming arrows of the devil. That's your depression. That's your anxiety. That's all the things that bring you down, that rob you of your joy, that keep you from being excited, that keep you from being on fire, that keep you from seeing the help that's around you, realizing that there's more who are with you than those who are against you, and able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and what he's doing, and God enables you to overcome because you got your help and of salvation on, and you're able to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, by the way, and it enables you to be able to come before God with prayers and petitions, and you're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing, so you can persevere through every opposition and opposing thing. You will be able to see in the darkness. You'll be able to navigate the challenging ways. You'll be able to overcome the mountains and overcome.